This is Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist from Copycat Killers, Real Channel's true crime program about real murders inspired by movies. Be sure to subscribe to our series on Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com, that's R-E-E-L-Z.com, to find true crime TV series like this one on Reels Channel.
This program contains graphic violence and sexual situations. Viewer discretion is advised. April 13th, 2016. Kim Edwards and Lucas Markham embark on a blood-soaked night of terror. Their motivation, ostensibly the popular teen film, Twilight.
Kim was obsessed with the movie Twilight. And just like the eternal love between Bella and Edward, she truly believed she had found her soulmate in Lucas.
Their plan is simple. Destroy anyone who tries to tear them apart. But in Twilight, true love ends in death.
The star-crossed lover trope has lingered through literature, and life has often imitated it through time. But this pair took it to the darkest place it could go.
She was laying on her side. He stabbed her through the neck.
These kids were ruthless, sick, just plain evil.
Off-screen, the Twilight killers murder those in their way.
Twilight does have this kind of feeling of death is not the enemy. It is not the end. It is only the beginning.
Like Bella and Edward, Kim and Lucas wanted to spend eternity together. And they believed that in order to do that, somebody had to die.
For 14-year-old Kim Edwards, the pursuit of happiness has always been fleeting. Until the movie Twilight shows her the meaning.
We'll be recording what's said here.
Of true love.
For the record, state your full name.
Kim Edwards.
I went into the room to see what was going on because I heard, noises and stuff. So I just wanted to check if he was okay. He was on top of the, with a, pillow over her head.
Lisa Coriel, crime writer.
In Twilight, you have a couple who believes that their love is greater than anything.
Even if that means death.
And they are prepared to fight everyone who tries to come between them before they're guaranteed to be linked forever in eternity.
The same can be said for Kim Edwards and her boyfriend Lucas.
After about 10 minutes of Lucas putting his weight on her.
Die!
Why? She was dead.
Jamila Bay, crime journalist.
After the murder, they don't even attempt to clean up the crime scenes. They cuddle up and turn on Twilight.
Tyler Richardson, film critic.
Kim and Lucas were called the Twilight Killers because of this great love story.
Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner, forensic psychologist.
They were finally free of normal restrictions that were imposed by a concerned parent. They were so excited about finally being together.
Growing up, sisters Kim and Katie Edwards never had a picture-perfect family life.
Kim had a really rough childhood. First of all, her dad wasn't there. He abandoned the family. They really don't have a relationship. And her mom and her had a lot of friction between them.
Although Kim and Katie seem like a loving pair, a bitter sibling feud scars their relationship.
Kim and her younger sister are being raised by their mother, Elizabeth, who's a single mom. And that's hard on everybody, especially Kim, who believes that her mother loves her little sister more, and she feels very alienated by that.
Give it back! You're being
rat.
So childish! Oh, I know this world, Ronald! Oh my God! Give it back!
Unlike her younger sister, Kim is rebellious, which causes her mom stress.
Give me the remote.
There are many reasons why one parent may favor a child over another. One may be that the parent just identifies with that child stronger than the other. Whether or not it's true, Kim felt it. So her mother could say, no, I love you both equally. But Kim didn't believe it. That's the important part here. No matter what her mother said, she didn't believe it.
I knew that she favored my sister more than me. And even though she said that she didn't, I knew that she was lying.
It was especially hard because there was only one parent in this family. And I think Kim felt that every moment that her mom spent with Katie was time taken away from her. And she really resented that.
Oh my God, you're unbelievable. I'm literally second to her for everything.
There was conflict around every corner in that household. Even little disagreements turned into full-blown arguments, and it was really an emotional powder keg.
You're always picking on her.
All this did was add more trauma and more drama to a teenager's life that was already filled with a lot of emotional changes.
Your sister...
Things start to mount, and anger then turns into rage, and sometimes rage can then turn into violence.
When are you going to step up? When?
When it becomes the norm, there's no safe place. The house now is a war zone.
I wish Dad were here.
One day, Kim and her mother get physical. Kim's mom, Elizabeth, actually strikes her. And Kim can't believe it. Her mother realized that she needed some help with these girls, and the fact that she could find herself at a point where she would hurt her child, she realized things were out of hand.
Elizabeth refers herself to social services, fully aware that she has lost control of her household.
She had to send the girls somewhere. She didn't have a husband to stay at home with them. So the kids went to foster care.
Kim blames her mother for the whole thing. And she's furious and she's not able to get over her anger.
Her feelings of rage and alienation deepen. And she's got nowhere to put them. And she turns to the movie Twilight because she could really identify with Bella in the movie.
This movie came at a time when Kim really needed someone to make her feel wanted, desired, and protected.
Twilight is the first installment of a major movie franchise. Across the world, teenage girls like Kim are fixated on the love story between Bella Swan and her vampire boyfriend, Edward Cullen.
Twilight begins with us watching Bella move in with her father. It's that classic new kid in school, trying to figure out who to befriend, and then all of a sudden you look up and see the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
Bella catches a glimpse of Edward, a mysterious classmate she can't keep her eyes off of.
He's painted as this beautiful dark figure. No one knows anything about him.
To everyone in town, Edward is untouchable. But when it comes to Bella, things are different.
Edward and Bella fall in love so fast, if you blinked, you might have missed it, except for when you opened your eyes again, they were probably making out.
Off screen, the fiery relationship between Bella and Edward fascinates Kim.
For Kim, it was very impressionable, probably for most teenagers or preteens. For Kim, who felt all alone, it was very important for her to have a protector, have someone on her side who supported her and believed her. She didn't get that from her mother. Certainly her father was long gone, and she didn't have any relationship with her younger sister.
And that's when Kim meets Lucas Markham, her very own Edward Cullen.
Lucas is also 14, and he goes to the same school as Kim. He's someone who is well-known, but not particularly liked. Kids are afraid of him. He's known to have been in fights with people, and he just doesn't have a really stellar reputation.
Remember this, we were talking about yesterday. Lucas?
Nobody.
Alright, Lucas, enough. Some of us...
Just like Edward, Lucas is different from every other boy in Bella's school. And this intrigues Kim and draws her to Lucas.
I think when Kim saw him, she viewed him as someone that she could rely on to protect her. Because he was so rageful that, in her mind, he appeared fearless.
It didn't hurt for Lucas to be considered an outcast to Kim, because that reminded her the way Bella saw Edward in the Twilight movies.
And like Bella Swan in Twilight, Kim is the one person who relates to Lucas's dark side.
They both share a feeling of alienation and being unwanted. In the case of Lucas, his mom died when he was 5 years old, so he doesn't have a mother. They're both basically, you know, orphans looking for some kind of shelter in a storm.
Did you have a good day?
Lucas and Kim forge a tight bond.
What a great
Lucas asks Kim if she will be his girlfriend. And she's overjoyed and accepts. So they're both in a really good place. They're happy. They're loved. And that's something that both of them had really been looking for.
They called it love, but it was really a mutual addiction. They were getting things from each other that they couldn't get from anybody else. For a kid watching Twilight, you would believe there's only one true soulmate in life. And Kim believes it's Lucas.
But not everyone is thrilled for the new couple. After several months of living in foster care, Kim is reunited with her family. But their second chance at happiness doesn't mend the family's strife.
When Kim's mother gets wind of the fact that Kim is dating the school bad boy, I think what she was thinking was, I want to get my daughter away from this guy because he's not good for her. I think she really thought that she was doing her daughter a favor, but no mistake about it, she was going to keep those two apart.
In Twilight, Bella's father doesn't react very well to her dating Edward. He's not a huge fan, which makes sense given the cloud of mystery that surrounds the Cullen family.
Similar to the unbreakable bond between Edward and Bella in Twilight, Kim and Lucas won't let anyone come in between them. Even if it means a fight to the death.
It happened so quickly. It gave me peace of mind because it wasn't like torture or anything.
14-year-old Kim Edwards feels like the real-life Bella Swan from the Hollywood franchise Twilight.
Kim started dating the school bad boy, and she believes she's found her one true love. And just like in Twilight, it seems like everybody's trying to break them apart.
In the movie, Bella and her boyfriend Edward Cullen tempt fate to make their relationship last.
So despite everyone trying to keep them apart, this love is such a once-in-a-lifetime thing that it's worth fighting for.
Outside the box office, Kim believes her relationship with boyfriend Lucas Markham rivals her favorite movie.
Bella was absolutely prepared to do whatever it took to keep Edward, and Kim feels the same way.
Since returning home from foster care, Kim's mom has been trying to fix their troubled relationship. But to no avail.
Kim was furious with her mother for sending them into the foster care system. and her feelings of rage and alienation deepen, and she's got nowhere to put them.
I am trying here. What else can I do?
Yeah, leave just like Dad did.
And now, Kim's mother, Elizabeth, is standing in the way of true love.
I think for Elizabeth, it wasn't just that Lucas wasn't good enough for her daughter.
Kim, what are you doing?
I think Elizabeth recognized in Lucas a lot of her ex, Kim's father. And I think she doesn't want Kim to have the same kind of relationship that Elizabeth had with Kim's dad.
What? What's wrong?
I want him to leave. Do you think it's appropriate for a 14-year-old to be making out with some boy?
I think she was acting out of protection of her daughter because she knows what it's like to be in love with a man like that.
Are you happy now? Is this what you wanted? I hate you!
Kim thought, just like Bella and Twilight, my parent is getting in the way of my true love, and we can't have that.
Kim is devastated. She can't imagine a life without Lucas.
She feels he is her salvation. He is her one and only. He is the one. So this is a classic example that kind of bemoans Romeo and Juliet. Elizabeth couldn't stand the idea of Kim dating Lucas. And Kim was being very defiant because she was in love with Lucas.
Kim becomes distraught. She retaliates the only way she knows how. She strikes out to hurt her mother by hurting herself.
At school, Kim is revealing an obvious cry for help.
In a very dramatic fashion, Kim sends a note to her teacher. I've tried to be strong, but I just can't do it anymore. And understandably, the teacher is alarmed.
It's clearly a suicide letter.
But before they can do anything, it's almost too late. The first chance Kim gets, she tries to overdose on pain pills in a suicide attempt.
When we look at Kim's state of mind, most people truly don't want to commit suicide. They just feel they have no choices. They're actually ambiguous in what they truly want to do. For Kim, she felt she had no choices. Her mother ruled her. Her mother took away all her power. Her mother took away all her freedoms.
Luckily, she's unsuccessful.
Kim wakes up in the hospital, and rather than being overjoyed that she's got a second chance at life, she spent most of the next 2 days crying because she couldn't be with Lucas anymore.
You're dealing with a teenager's mind that is ruled by emotions. So in Kim's mind, all she's thinking about is Lucas. She's not thinking of anyone else. She's very self-focused, and she's very consumed by her love and the fact that it's being denied.
In Twilight, Bella would do anything for her love, Edward, even after she discovers he's a vampire.
Edward and Bella definitely risk it all, and they're almost a danger to each other, but ultimately decide, I would rather die with you than live without you.
And that's when Kim's life imitates art.
As soon as Kim gets out of the hospital, she runs off to Lucas's house, and the two of them hatch a plan to run away together.
Lucas and Kim pack a bag of clothes, they steal a tent from school, and with this, they set out to make their life in the woods, in the wilderness.
In Twilight, the woods play an important role.
That's the first place that Edward really lays all his cards on the table and allows for Bella to accept him for who he is. The woods are almost a metaphor. He can be safe and concealed in there, and they can be themselves.
But in real life, the teenage couple can only hide for so long. After camping out for a week, the police track them down.
The idea that two 14-year-old kids could live out their lives in the woods is absurd. But I think it illustrates the immaturity of these two kids, the delusions they were under, and Kim's apparent determination to live out this fantasy that she saw in Twilight.
Kim was hoping she would be welcomed back by her mother with open arms, and she would be allowed then to see Lucas. Her mother would finally realize how serious and committed their love was and accept it. But that's not what happened at all.
While at home, things seem more of the same to Kim.
Ever since, I was young, I've never gotten my mom. I knew that she favored my sister more than me. And even though she said that she didn't, I knew that she was lying.
She goes home and she discovers that in her absence, her mother has bagged up a lot of her stuff. And the stuff that wasn't bagged, she gave away to her little sister, Katie.
How could you let this happen? You just let her take all my stuff?
This is the least of your issues. You never think, Kim. That's your problem. Kim, don't you walk away from me. Kim!
Elizabeth even lets Katie use Kim's room as a play area.
It was Kim's room, and her sister Katie invaded that room. And so, to Kim, that's an invasion of privacy. For a teenager, having your own space is very important because you're developing a sense of privacy. Once Elizabeth did that, it set a dynamic up, at least in Kim's mind, that she really wasn't wanted. It was her against her mother and younger sister.
Don't treat your sister like that!
She really didn't belong there.
Alone in her room, Kim contemplates her next move.
From Kim's perspective, her mother is the enemy. We're talking about a teenager who is swept up in these emotions and cannot stop herself to think rationally.
Kim wants Lucas. She wants nothing else. She wants Lucas. And she realizes that the single factor preventing her from being with her boyfriend is her mom.
It's then Kim starts to realize how her life might be better without her mother.
Kim wants her mom out of her life for good, and she's willing to do whatever it takes to make that happen.
He was on top of her, with a pillow over her head.
It's Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner. If you like hearing how Twilight inspired a grisly murder in real life, then check out Real's channel's forensic mystery series, Autopsy. The program unravels cases like what really killed music legends like Tom Petty, David Bowie, and Jimi Hendrix. And if you miss them, there are lots more coming up and available on demand. Look for Reels on your TV at Reels.com. That's R-E-E-L-Z.com. Then check the top of the screen to find Reels in your area.
Fourteen-year-old Kim Edwards and her boyfriend, Lucas Markham, are in a desperate battle for young love.
I want him to leave.
Kim's mother does not want her dating Lucas. So she forbids her daughter from dating him. And Kim feels like her mother is doing this deliberately to ruin her life. And it just deepens the hatred she already has for a mother she believes doesn't love her.
Kim and Lucas are willing to do whatever it takes to stay together.
Twilight views love as a very, I almost want to say it's romanticized. People really don't want Edward and Bella to date because every moment that he's around her is a fight for him, and no one wants to see him lose that battle and Bella to lose her life.
Kim sneaks out of the house to see Lucas, and they get together, and as they reconnect, Kim is distraught to hear Lucas tell her, "I've reached my breaking point. I have to see you, I have to have you, and being kept apart from you is too much for me to bear.
At this point, Kim and Lucas are just like Bella and Edward. They're standing shoulder to shoulder, willing to fight anything and everything that tries to come between them.
Kim and Lucas band together against their critics, especially when it comes to their sworn enemy, Kim's mother, Elizabeth.
In Lucas's mind, everything that was bad that was happening to him was due to Kim's mother. It was Kim's mother that had caused Kim to try to commit suicide. It was Kim's mother who had made them run away. He needed to protect Kim. And the only way he could protect Kim was to save her from Elizabeth. And the only way he could do that was to kill Kim's mother.
When Lucas says he wants to murder Elizabeth, Kim doesn't hear, "Hey, this guy wants to kill my mother." She hears, "This guy is willing to rid my life of the one thing that's caused me nothing but pain and heartbreak."
Kim tries to justify Lucas's plan.
My mom doesn't have to do with me being, suicidal, and she doesn't have to wake up worrying every morning to see if I'm still alive.
Over the next several days, Kim and Lucas plot their revenge. They plan to kill Elizabeth while she sleeps.
Their plan was, after they murdered Elizabeth, they were going to commit suicide and live together in eternity.
Like Romeo and Juliet and Edward and Bella, Kim and Lucas feel this is the only option.
Classic love stories that have been played out in film. When it's young love, we often come back to, let's die together so that we can be together forever. There is no grander gesture of love than, let's kill ourselves together.
That night, Lucas climbs into Kim's upstairs window, just like Edward Cullen when he comes to visit Bella in Twilight.
It appears that there is a break with reality, that all of a sudden, something in Lucas and Kim switched, and they were no longer teenagers in love, but now they had somehow become sociopaths. Not like teenagers, but like professional killers.
Inside Elizabeth's room, she's sleeping peacefully.
She was laying on her side.
He tells himself, again and again, that he is doing this for the greater good, to rid the world of a person who has tried to keep them apart. For Lucas and Kim, this is their sense of justice.
Stabbed her through the neck, I think, through that way, because she was on the side.
When Elizabeth woke up to this attack and she started to struggle, Lucas continued to stab her. He stabbed her repeatedly, and she managed to get her hands in front of her and tried to fight him off.
I went into the room to see what was going on because I heard, noises and stuff. So I just wanted to check if he was okay. He was on top of her, with a, pillow over her head. I thought I heard her say, "Get off me."
And at one point, Elizabeth's, in her flailing, reaches out a hand. When Kim realizes the hand of her mother as her mother's being murdered by her boyfriend, even she, I think, realizes that that's just beyond. She curls up in like a fetal position on the floor. The reality was kind of too much for her at that point. She just tells herself it's going to be over soon.
You have to ask yourselves, why doesn't Kim do anything? This is her mother that Lucas is murdering, but she doesn't. She doesn't do anything. In a very strange way, she wanted to protect Lucas more than her own mother.
Elizabeth was stabbed about 8 times. And after it's done, I mean, there was no reaction. There was no remorse.
Kim? Kim!
From Kim's perspective, her mother is the enemy. She's trying to destroy this love between her daughter and Lucas. But from Elizabeth's perspective, she is a mother trying to protect her daughter. From Lucas's perspective, he wants to destroy Kim's mother because she is the obstacle that's keeping them apart.
But the carnage isn't over. Just like in Twilight, no one is safe, not even a child.
The frightening thing about this case is that both were age 14. They are just cold-blooded killers.
Teenagers Kim Edwards and her boyfriend Lucas Markham are murdering Kim's family, all in the name of true love.
Kim's mother did not want her dating Lucas, and so they killed her, so they could be together.
What exactly happened to cause you to want to plan this?
Not really. Well, it just kind of happened, I guess.
In Kim's favorite movie, Twilight, death can also mean eternal life. Bella begs her boyfriend Edward to turn her into a vampire so they can spend eternity together. But Edward refuses. Instead, he vows to protect her from harm, even if he has to stand guard while she sleeps.
When Edward came through Bella's window, that was to save her. When Lucas comes through Kim's window, it's to kill.
We have one more. We can do this. Come with me.
With Elizabeth dead in her room, the killers turn to Kim's little sister, Katie, as their next victim.
They've decided they should kill her, get her out of the way. That way she can't turn them in for killing her mom.
Katie is unaware of what just happened to her mother.
She was asleep, not a care in the world, as every little girl sleeping amongst stuffed animals is. And she was awakened by some sound, and then there was Lucas stabbing her.
She struggled, but he just attacked her with such savagery. And he said, I don't know if I stabbed her with a mattress, I wasn't sure. So he's just flailing away with like all his might. And he stabs her in the throat, but once again feels like he has to finish her off with a pillow.
Katie suffers 2 brutal knife wounds to the neck while Kim stands just outside the door.
She's listening to her little sister, you know, struggling for her life. And she stays outside that door. And it's just, I just can't imagine that. I can't imagine any sister could hate her sister that much to let that happen.
And how do you feel about it on reflection?
The same way.
What, relieved that it's done?
After Katie's death, the lovers prepare for their final act.
Where did you think up to?
kill your family, to commit suicide afterwards.
And committing suicide afterwards. Just most people who do commit murders try to commit suicide themselves.
They're in control now. They feel free. There's nobody coming in between them. There's nobody stopping them from being together. They have exactly what they want.
In the movie Twilight, Edward and Bella stand together against the world.
At the end of the whole series, the Twilight saga, Bella and Edward end up married with child. The child is the culmination of everything that they fought for.
But Lucas and Kim aren't interested in making future plans.
All they know is what they feel in the moment. And in this moment, they want to end their lives.
So Kim writes a suicide note saying, "F*** the world. I want to be cremated and mine and Lucas's ashes scattered at our special place. We don't give a f*** anymore." Lucas is the first one up. He's ready to die for his one true love. Their only chance at eternity is death.
Teenage killer Lucas Markham and his girlfriend Kim Edwards are in the final hour of a murderous plot to kill Kim's mother and sister.
They pulled off these murders so that they could be together forever and nobody would be controlling their lives.
Are you ready?
But now, with only their own deaths to carry out, Kim has second thoughts.
Wait!
What?
We can be together now. She's gone.
I think after the murders, Kim realized, hey, wait a minute. We got a whole house to ourselves. No one's going to tell us what to do. And I think she realized that for the first time, they were in control.
They were together now, so maybe killing themselves didn't have to happen.
Instead of dying together, the couple jumps into the shower to clean off the blood.
Lucas and Kim shower, but they don't make any attempt to clean up any of the crime scenes. They go down into the basement.
Downstairs, the young lovers have sex, eat ice cream, and watch their favorite film franchise, Twilight.
After committing these two horrific murders, they didn't, you know, head for the hills. They didn't grab her mother's credit card and try to make a run for it. They never even moved beyond the four walls of the house. They hunkered downstairs and immersed themselves in the fantasy of Twilight.
Their emotions are of two 14-year-olds who have no empathy for the individuals they just killed and self-focused on their own freedom. It's normal to be self-absorbed and self-focused when you're a teenager. But this went way beyond normal.
The next day, with her family rotting upstairs, Kim and Lucas continue their party.
There was a lot of controversy over which one was the ringleader, who was behind all of this, and I firmly believe it was Kim. I think Kim manipulated. I think Kim harnessed Lucas's anger and violence and rage to her own benefit.
But their rendezvous is short-lived. Less than 48 hours after the murder, the police show up.
When Lucas and Kim don't show up for school for 2 days, people start looking for them. The police get involved, and everybody's wondering, where are Kim and Lucas? The police go to the house, and they knock and no one answers. They don't turn away. They're determined that they're going to get in.
The officer found a door to the basement that happened to be open.
Hey. Where are your parents?
My mom's upstairs.
What's she doing?
She's resting.
Resting?
We made sure she'd be asleep for a while.
Questing back up with the Edwards residence.
Upstairs, police discover a grisly sight. The dead bodies of Elizabeth and Katie Edwards.
They find the bodies just like Kim and Lucas left them.
The sight is beyond comprehension.
I can't imagine what the cops were thinking at this point. The kids didn't try to run, didn't try to hide, didn't try to lie about what they had done. They just kept watching the Twilight movie. They never looked away from the Twilight movie.
The young couple is arrested and charged with murder. The media names them the Twilight Killers.
It's very interesting that this Twilight saga has people almost rooting for death, even though you still want to see not a culmination of love, but you want to see their love continue to grow.
That movie was so essential to their relationship and how they saw themselves. They imagined that they were like Bella and Edward. No matter what, they would always find a way to be together. They could be together forever through eternity if they wanted. And nothing would stop that.
Kim and Lucas go to trial, where they are found guilty and sentenced to life with a minimum of 20 years in prison.
And how do you feel about it on reflection now?
I was okay with it. The fact that it happened so quickly, that, like, gave me peace of mind, because, like, you know, it wasn't, like, torture or anything. Mm-hmm.
And the odd thing is that I find really weird is that, okay, you've done that. You're on trial because you've done these horrific things and you did it because you wanted to be together. And yet at the trial, they never looked at each other. I don't know what that was about. At what point did they go like, oh, I guess you're really not the person I was meant to be with. You're not my soulmate after all. You're just a guy I killed my mom with.
Ultimately, it probably had to do with their age. They might have had the ability to murder, but they didn't have the ability to survive in the real world.
For Bella Swan, death means eternal love.
In a way, you almost have to root for Bella to become a vampire, which means death, just so that she can stay with Edward.
But for Kim and Lucas, the relationship they killed for is over.
What is ironic is that Edward and Bella went on to spend an eternity together, and Kim and Lucas are now going to spend the rest of their lives apart.
It appears that Kim just had all this built-up rage, and she really, really truly hated her mother and her little sister and could see nothing else when she thought of them except hate and resentment, and ultimately revenge.
The star-crossed lover trope has lingered through literature, and life has often imitated it through time. But this pair took it to the darkest place it could go.
If you enjoyed this episode of Copycat Killers, don't forget to subscribe at Podcast One or Apple Podcasts. Then go to Reels.com. That's Reelz.com for clips, extras, and more from the TV version of the series, including chilling reenactments and crime scene photos you'll only find on Reels channel. Find Reels on your TV at Reels.com. I'm Dr. J. Buzz von Ornsteiner.